Flyers Daily with Jason Mertidis.
Alrighty, here we go. Brand new Flyers Daily for the 9th of December, 2025. Flyers Daily, presented by Ticketmaster. Make more memories live. Flyers six-game homestand will continue tonight at Xfinity Mobile Arena. This is another one of those, I feel like I say this all the time now, but when you look at how tight the standings are, this week of Flyers hockey is of the utmost importance. Here's the state of play right now. Flyers 27 games in. We have quite the variance of amount of games played within the division, as some teams have played far less, like the Flyers, who've played 27, and the Penguins. To some teams that have played as much as 31 in the division, like the New York Rangers. So here's the state of play. Flyers 27 games in. They're sitting in the sixth spot in the Metropolitan Division. Again, this is by points, not points percentage. A record of 15-9-3, 33 points. They are plus four in goal differential, 6-4 in their last 10, lost their last one. That was the 3-2 loss against Colorado. At home this season, where these next bunch of games will be for the Flyers, are 9-5-2, the Philadelphia Flyers. The state of play tonight against the San Jose Sharks, who come into this game having played 30 games, a record of 14-13-3, 31 points. They're minus 13 in goal differential. They're 5-5 in their last 10. They did win their last one, and they are 5-8 on the road. So when you look at this week for the Flyers, it's San Jose tonight at Xfinity Mobile Arena. Then we'll see the Vegas Golden Knights coming up on Thursday, and then we'll see Carolina at Xfinity Mobile on Saturday at 7 o'clock. Then they'll head back out on the road for a game on Sunday against Carolina. And look, you look at the start times, 7 o'clock on Saturday, 5 o'clock on Sunday, but it's completely fair because it's the same two teams playing each other in the exact same travel. But 22 hours between puck drop on Saturday night and puck drop on Sunday. And when you look at this division, Flyers with 33 games, like I said, sitting in the sixth spot, they are 1 point back of the Rangers, but they have four games in hand on the Rangers. They're 1 point back of the Penguins. They've played the same amount of games. They are sitting 2 points back of the Islanders, but have three games in hand on the Islanders. They are 5 points back. 3 points back of the Hurricanes, 2 points back of the Islanders, 3 points back of the Hurricanes. They have one game in hand on the Hurricanes, and they are 6 points back of the Capitals, and they have three games in hand on the Caps. So games in hand are great, points percentage-wise, but they only mean something if they turn into wins. When you look at points percentage and where the Flyers are, first and foremost, in the NHL, they have the eighth highest points percentage in the league. The only teams in their division that are ahead of them are the Caps with a 650 points percentage, Carolina with a 643, and the Penguins with 630. Then it's the Flyers at 611. Below them, the Islanders, who are above them in the standings right now at 583, the Devils, who are below them at 569, and Columbus at 552, and the Rangers at 548. But again, the Rangers have played 31 games this season so far. The San Jose Sharks come into this game. What's the power play like for the San Jose Sharks? Now, San Jose, they've got some really good young players, led by Macklin Celebrini, who's just been off the charts. Not good, fantastic, unbelievable young player in the NHL. And the San Jose power play is one that's pretty decent. Above league average, 14th in the NHL at 19.1%. They kill off penalties at 80%. Flyers come in 19th on the power play at 18.4% and 81.4% on the PK, which has taken a little bit of hit lately. It's 13th now in the NHL, where that was a PK that was in the top five for most of this season. So that's got to be an area the Flyers do look to improve upon. Like I said, San Jose, led by Celebrini, in 30 games, he's got a goal and half of them, 15 goals and 28 assists, 43 points, four on the power play, 11 power play assists, and he leads the team in shots on goal as well with 81. Will Smith, another good young player, has got 12 goals, 16 assists, 28 points in 30 games. Tyler Toffoli, off to a solid start, 18 points. But this San Jose team still got a ways to go. But they've got their centerpiece in Macklin Celebrini. Just a fantastic young player. His game, very mature for his age. And a refined game already. He's going to turn into one heck of a player. When it's all said and done, he's a heck of a player now. It's only going to get better for him in San Jose as a result of that. Now, I mentioned San Jose 5-5 in their last 10. They lost to Colorado 6-0 on the road. No shame in that. They beat Vancouver at home. They lost to Vegas on the road. They beat Utah at home. They lost to the Caps at home 7-1. They lost to Dallas on the road 4-1 on this trip. And they beat Carolina in their last game on Sunday 4-1. Now, that's a quality win. It's the Flyers tonight for them, and then they'll head to Toronto. And they'll go to Pittsburgh before returning home on December 16th. Now, the Flyers schedule, we've had these breaks of multiple days a few times already this season. I think three by my count. So the Flyers, in this little run of their last six games, they beat, well, they lost to Tampa 3-0 on that road trip, the four-game trip. But then they beat Florida, the Islanders, and the Devils all on the road. Came home, lost 5-1 to the Penguins a week ago yesterday, Monday. And then they beat Buffalo. And then we saw on Sunday afternoon, they lost 3-2 against Colorado. We'll see if we see Ty Murchison in the lineup tonight. Cam York probably still out. And I would imagine Dan Vladar will get the start tonight coming up against San Jose. But again, it's a lot of hockey coming up for the Flyers. San Jose tonight, Vegas Thursday. Back-to-back this weekend with Carolina. Then they'll go on Tuesday. No multiple days off. So you're off Monday, back at it Tuesday in Montreal. Then Thursday in Buffalo. Then Saturday in New York against the Rangers. Then home for a Monday game against Vancouver. And a back-to-back Vancouver on Monday the 22nd. Last home game of the calendar year for the Flyers. And they're going to go right on the road after that game that night to Chicago for a game on the 23rd. See Connor Bedard on that occasion, 9:00 in Chicago. Very, very important games for the Philadelphia Flyers over this next stretch. Things are going to get much more compact. And I think this is where, for the Flyers, the goaltending situation could pay even bigger dividends. Now, that is provided a couple of things. Bedard, who's played in 16 games, pacing well ahead of his career high at 30 games played in a season. He's got a record of 10-5-1, a 2.59 goals against average, and his save percentage has come back down to earth. It's 9.06 now. Sam Harrison has played in 10 games. He's got a record of 5-3-2, a 2.98 goals against average. Save percentage not nearly as good, 8.71. He's suffered on a few occasions from really low shot volume, but given up some goals, and that'll obviously affect the save percentage. But I think he's playing his best of the season right now. And he's kind of slotted himself into feeling really good about his game. Kolesov's played two games as well with a 9.29 and a 1.62 goals against average. He's appeared in two games. So this is where the goaltending and having two guys that can give you what you would deem as a quality start. Now, my definition of a quality start for a goaltender would be holding the opposition to three goals or less in a game. And when you look at it, the Flyers are 13-0-1 when they score three goals or more this season. So that's kind of the magic number for this team. You'd like to see that creep up a little higher where it's a race to four, not just to three. Winning games 3-2 or 3-1, very difficult to do with consistency. But if you have two goaltenders that can go out and you feel confident they can hold the opposition to three goals or less, you should be in a good situation. Now, that doesn't just come down to goaltending. That's also obviously the environment which they play in. And the Flyers' environment for their goaltenders has been pretty darn good this season. And, you know, it's not about just shot suppression. It's about quality of shots against. So now we could see the reward of this. Every team is going to go through this periods of their schedule, some more than others already have, like the Rangers, who've played 31 games. But this ability to put both goaltenders out there and get quality starts to give your team a chance to win. That's the job of the goaltender, to give your team a chance to win. And with Harrison and Vladar, they may be on the right path to doing that, especially as this schedule gets condensed. When you have one guy, your number one and your number two, playing in those back-to-backs or tough situations, those games, a lot of times that backup, if there's a big gap between your starter and your backup, doesn't give you a chance to win on a lot of nights. So it's a very difficult situation. So we'll see how this plays out with these two goaltenders. This is the situation, by the way, too, with the schedule being condensed, that I've been looking forward to. I have not loved their schedule early with these big gaps. I think that this condensed schedule will really start to kind of put this Flyers team to the test a little bit. And when you're in this situation, I think we'll find out more about what this team is. Not only that, but you're without Tyson Forster. You're without Cam York right now. Your depth's going to be tested a little bit, as a lot of teams are. Teams deal with injuries. It's part of the equation. How you deal with that organizationally, it matters. So we'll see, and we'll learn a lot between now, the 9th of December, and Christmas, coming up in just a couple of weeks. So it's not long, 16 days. I think we'll learn a lot about this team and where they are in their process right now. I think we've learned some things already. We've learned some things about certain players taking next steps, Trevor Zegras, for example, and others. But I think this will be a really illuminating period of the schedule between now, not only just Christmas, but really the end of the year. So we look forward to that. Now, the next thing we're going to talk about is something that I did not have on my radar. Was not something I really planned to discuss or am looking to relitigate or discuss going forward. But I got a really interesting email. And when I got this email, I get a lot of emails. You guys always know you can email me at jason.mertitus@gmail.com. You can always shoot me a DM on Twitter or X. Or you can tweet me as well. And I read all of them. I tend not to respond to all of them because I'll talk about them here, and that's my response. And when I got this email, and I got it at 7:10 last night, I read it, and I had to just kind of like chew on it for a little bit because my instant reaction was to be defensive. But I didn't want to record the pod when I was defensive about it. I had to really think about it. And I want to get people's thoughts on this email and the contents thereof. So I'll read the email first, and then I'll respond to it. I'll just say it came from somebody named, I believe it, the name is Kaleem. I'm not sure. It says, "Hey, Jason, I usually don't write shows, but there was something you said recently that I thought was interesting." I appreciate that. He said, "You basically criticized some people for liking or caring about Mishkov's development more than the Flyers. It seems to me that you may have grown out of touch with the current fans. It's not the fans care more about Mishkov. It's that Mishkov gives them hope. No different than a team taking a QB in the first round. After being bad for so long, having someone as talented as him, Mishkov, make the fans care more. He gives those fans happy thoughts of success. Plus, those fans know that if he doesn't reach his plateau, then we lost another decade or so of Flyers winning hockey. That is, I don't think he meant to say plateau. I think he meant to say peak. That is why fans stress about his playing time or him not given a chance to fail. They care more about development than winning right now because they believe squeezing out wins with Hathaway, Cates, and Dvorak, etc., means little long-term. We've experienced grinding teams that get the seventh seed just to lose in round one. Just look in the stands. I've been to like four games so far, and it's filled with Mishkov jerseys. I'm sure Martone will get the same treatment." He said, "In conclusion, I think you should reevaluate your assessment of Mishkov fans. They love Mishkov so much because a great Mishkov is the clearest path to a great Flyers team. That's them being, quote, team guys. Thanks for reading us and love the show." Now that's really, thanks for the email. It's a really interesting email. And I kind of want to take it in bite-sized pieces. First of all, he said, I basically criticized some people for liking or caring about Mishkov's development more than the Flyers. Now, you can care about his development. Absolutely. He is of the utmost importance when it comes to players developing. And he says, it just seems to me that you may have grown out of touch with the current fans. Maybe I have. I don't know. I'm around this team, obviously, a ton, and have been for a very long time. I'm not a young person. I'm 53 years of age. I've been around the game my entire life, since the age of five, to a very deep level. Whether it was growing up playing, and I didn't just play in the winter. I played all year round once I got to, like, peewee hockey. And I've been around this game, coached it for 20-plus years, everything. So maybe I am out of touch with current fans. Again, my job's not to be in touch with fans. My job is more to be in touch with the game, with what's best for the player, not about what the fans think is best for the player. But fair criticism. I don't know if it's true or not. I don't know if I'm out of touch with fans. I think I am out of touch to a degree with some of the younger fans, and I've talked about this. I think that fandom now in sports, to some degree, especially in sports like basketball, hockey, and to some degree baseball, not as much football, I think this younger generation of fans is more of a fan of a specific player and not a team. So they kind of move around with the player if the player changes teams. The NBA kind of started that. When we see guys like Durant jumping all over the place, or Harden or LeBron or whoever it might be. So that part has changed. And I'm not like that. I'm a fan of the team and who's on the team. I don't follow them as they go to other places. Now, there's players that played here that I really liked, and I see them go to other teams, and I follow them. But it doesn't mean I'm a fan of that team. He said it's that Mishkov gives them hope, and he absolutely should. He's a dynamic talent. He said no different than a team taking a QB in the first round. That, I believe, is total baloney and BS. The quarterback in football is much more consequential than a winger in hockey. If you don't have a quarterback in football, you're looking for a quarterback. That comparable to me is you're stretching it way too far there. Now, he said, after being bad for so long, having someone as talented as Mishkov gives the fan, makes the fans care more. That's great. That is good. He is a guy that brings people in, Matvei Mishkov, because he is a dynamic talent. And this team hasn't had super dynamic guys, top of the league stars like Lindros was, or like Ovechkin, obviously, is. And I don't think that Mishkov's going to be Ovechkin. He's not going to be Crosby. I don't have that expectation of him to be that. But can he be very different player? Kapril Kaprizov? Maybe. Can he be Nikita Kucherov? Maybe. He says he gives those fans happy thoughts of success. Plus, those fans know that if he doesn't reach, the emailer said, plateau, I think peak, then we lost another decade or so of Flyers winning hockey. I don't think everything is pinned to Matvei Mishkov. I think in this sport of hockey, you can't pin the success of a franchise on a single player. If you could do that, the Edmonton Oilers would be winning cup after cup after cup, because they have the most talented hockey player in the world who's developed beautifully in Connor McDavid. This sport is not about an individual. This sport is about the collective of a team. You need some great individual players in there to be successful, but you can't be successful just because you have a Mishkov who reaches his peak, and it is a collective team sport. Much more than the NBA. And you can't just judge it on that. Again, or the Oilers would have won cups, or Toronto would have won cups. We see these teams that have these great, finely tuned, developed players, and they haven't won anything yet. So it's not about that. The emailer says they care more about development than winning right now, because squeezing out wins with Hathaway, Cates, and Dvorak means a little long term. But you got to understand, and I don't know about Hathaway, Cates, and Dvorak. Cates, I think, is a very important hockey player on a team that will be in the playoffs at some point. I think you need a lot. You need players like Cates. You can't have a bunch of Mishkovs. You got to have guys that check that box. And I think Cates will check a lot of those boxes that are really important in playoff hockey. Hathaway and Dvorak, whatever. I'm not whatevering them as players, but they're inconsequential to this part. But starting to win and eke out wins, as you say, is important now, because you don't want a team full of guys that are developing, and they're the fourth youngest team in the league, to accept losing. You don't wash that stink off your hands. Look at Buffalo. Look at teams that accepted losing. It's really hard for them to turn it around. The emailer again says, we've experienced grinding teams that get the seventh seed just to lose in round one. Yeah, there's a lot of teams. It takes a long time to become a winner. A very long time. He said, I've looked in the stands. I've been to four games. I see a lot of Mishkov jerseys. Absolutely. Popular player. And yet Martone will be the same, although I think their development will be far different because of body type. In conclusion, I think you should reevaluate your assessment of Mishkov fans. They love Mishkov so much because a great Mishkov is the clearest path to a great Flyers team. Again, he's a big part of it, but it's not just him. He said, that's them being team guys. Thanks for reading this and love the show. My problem is this, is the Mishkov fans, they're evaluating his development on average time on ice, which to me is, there's nuance to average time on ice. You don't put a player in a position to fail. Mishkov has said it six ways to Sunday that he needed to prepare better for this season. And this year he needs to stay here. For whatever reason, his fitness wasn't where it needed to be this year. He has said that and admitted that. It takes time. I'm not criticizing the Mishkov fans because he's not there yet. I'm criticizing them because it's a different set of rules for him. And it's the pointing out every flaw in everyone else, but overlooking those in a specific player. This game has never, ever been about one guy. As somebody, this isn't me being out of touch with fans. I'm out of touch with certain fans who I don't think have the aptitude or understanding of player development enough to understand the things that do matter versus the things that don't matter. And average time on ice is something that is not a roadblock to developmental success. A player I have compared him to a ton, and a lot of people compare him to, is Nikita Kucherov. Now, we know Kucherov, who in the 23-24 season had 144 points, had 121 last year, had 113 2 years ago, and in 2018-19, at 25 years of age, had 128 points. But it's also the Nikita Kucherov that when he was the same age as Matvei Mishkov is now, he had 65 points. And guess what his average time on ice was? 14 minutes and 57 seconds. The same age. What is Matvei Mishkov's average time on ice at 21 years of age? I'll give it to you. 14 minutes and 50 seconds. He averaged 16.41 last year. In the Kucherov's 20-year-old season, he averaged 13.07. Did it hold him back? No. These are the things that I don't understand, is digging in and making a case for development or stunting of development of a future star player by judging it on average time on ice. That's where I don't get it. But I'm willing to look within and say, hey, have I grown out of touch with current fans? I don't think I have. I think I'm out of touch with a very vocal minority some of which I don't think value the right elements of player development. That's not a criticism. I'm not being a jerk. But I think there's a lot of people out there that don't understand the idiosyncrasies of player development. They understand it on a surface level. And they look at things like average time on ice and figure, well, just put them out there more. That'll make them better. As somebody that's been in the game, around the game, played the game, talked to people within the game for a very long time, I've never heard an educated hockey mind have that mindset. Throw them in a deeper end of the pool. I don't get that. But I do appreciate your email. I'm open for discussion on it. Again, this wasn't something I wanted to relitigate or talk about, but the email intrigued me. Flyers Sharks tonight. We'll break it down tomorrow. Join us then on a brand new Flyers Daily.